Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. There's a reason behind the name of this website. It is because we make every attempt to declare and sometimes expound on the Word of God rather than the traditions of men, rather than, if you will, religious teaching. You know, I don't know how many of you were brought up in the church. Personally, I was raised a Catholic, but it's not exclusive to the Catholic religion. For the more denominations are established, the more traditional they become, the more religious they become. And in that upbringing, I was taught to fear God. Now, I want to remind you of what we spoke of last week. You know, most Bible translators just didn't get it right. I mean, you can even go to using the Strong's Concordance, wherein it, you know, last week we taught in Psalm 118, it says, let all those that fear God say, his mercy endureth forever. The word is yare, and it has to do with respect, with reverence, with a sincere desire to please. And a few verses down in that 118th Psalm, it says, I will not fear what man can do to me. The same word, but it's a different word in the Hebrew. There's a different connotation. It talks about being terrified. And as I was raised, there was that sense of terror of God. Isaiah, in the 29th chapter, 13th verse, God speaking, it says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me and their fear toward me is taught by, listen, the precept of men. Now, in the Hebrew, I've attempted to study this. It gets a little clearer when we go and read the words of Jesus as he quotes this passage. It's found both in Matthew, the 8th chapter, and in Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus said, and he answered unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied to you hypocrites. He's talking to the religious people of the day. This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain they do worship me. That's Jesus speaking. Worship, he puts a little different twist than, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Jesus said, worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. This site is not a religious site where the tradition of men is taught, but the doctrine of God. And as we have taught many times in the past, when you encounter that word, doctrine in the Old Testament, speaking of God's speaking, God, the doctrines of God, the sense is something astonishing. Teaching for the doctrines, the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, and the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. We're going back to the Psalms today. I think the beginning of this year, we're going to spend time in the Psalms. I'm moved by that part of Psalm 118 that we were in last week, where it says, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. That's the 16th verse. The 15th verse says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. That is that place where God has put his spirit. That's the only righteousness God's interested in. And he gives that righteousness to men and women of faith. And it goes on to say in that 15th verse, the right hand, God repeats it, doeth valiantly. And as I told you last week, that word is kail, and it has to do with power, with armies, if you will, of power, not just strength, but the power of armies. Today, I want to go to a Psalm of David. It's called a Miktam of David. That is a golden psalm. And he says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Faith, if you will. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not unto thee. He's not relying on his works. He's relying on the fact he put his trust in the Lord. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, now he brings up another subject. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Whew. Listen. And of my cup, thou maintainest my lot, that is, that which God has given to him. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who has given me counsel. God has given us his entire word. And it's good counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. This word has to do with the seat of emotion and affection. I have set the Lord always before me. Do you remember Elijah in his day? There was a common phrase, as the Lord thy God liveth, people would claim. And Elijah adds, as the Lord thy God liveth, in whose presence I am. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. There's an alternative in the margin which says, shall dwell confidently in hope. Now, I like the word hope here, you know. If we go back to the teaching or the words of God out of Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope that is seen is no longer hope. Our hope continues in God. But here, the word in the Hebrew for being translated hope, the word is betach. And it means to lean upon a staff. It is a word of faith in the Old Testament. My flesh also shall dwell confidently as I lean on the Lord with the expectation that He will hold me up. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. David's prophesying here. We read of Jesus who was crucified, died, and was buried. And after 3 days and three nights and 3 days, arose. We get a sense in the scriptures of Lazarus, who had died, and Jesus didn't show up for 4 days. And his sister says, to Jesus, by now he stinks. Corruption in 4 days sets in. But before corruption set in Jesus, and we have that word in Ephesians that he went and preached in hell. So God didn't leave him in hell, and he suffered not his Holy One to see corruption. We have that same promise. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Joy, children of God, comes with understanding. And when you understand, it can't be taken away, and it's a gift of God, and the gifts and calling of God are
I think the translation suffers. The gifts and calling of God, the New Testament tells us, are without repentance. God's not going to change his mind. He's not going to take them back. Their gifts are not going to be called back. And his calling is not going to be called back. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I went and did a word study about the right hand of God. You know, we first encounter the source of power, the beginning of understanding, the source of power of the right hand in that encounter with Jacob, whom God changes name to Israel, when he is first blessing in the 48th chapter of Genesis his grandsons, the sons of Joseph, when Joseph puts his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, in the right position. He puts Manasseh at the right hand of his father Israel, and Ephraim the younger at the left hand. And when he goes to bless him, Israel crosses his hands, and Joseph says, unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. But Israel knew what he was doing, being led by God. We learn a lesson of the source and the preeminent source of blessing is the right hand. We move on to Exodus. That's, if you want to take notes, that which I just quoted is Genesis 48:18. Let's move on to Exodus 15:6. It says, Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. Psalm 17:7 says, Show thy marvelous loving kindness. This word is all encompassing. It is mercy, which we learned last week. God's mercy endureth forever. It is grace, unmerited favor. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Psalm 18:35 says, Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand has holden me up. Psalm 20:6 says, Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Listen to this one. Psalm 44:3 says, For they got not the land in possession. Listen again. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance. That means his presence. It's God who doeth these things, and that by his right hand. Psalm 60:5, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and hear me. God loves for us to talk to him, and particularly to talk of his promises to us, to our Father. Again, we're reminded, my soul, in Psalm 63:8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Not the doctrines or commandments of men, those religious things. It's God's revealing of the source of our being upheld. Though he stumbleth, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him. Psalm 37. There's a myriad of descriptions of the right hand of God. Here's a wonderful one. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. So, back to the 29th chapter of Isaiah, wherein it says, "For as much as these people," God speaking, "for as much as these people draw near unto me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, for their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." But thank God, we can go on in Isaiah, wherein it says, "Fear thou not." This is not that word yare, reverence. It is that word ira, which speaks of being terrified, of terror. Don't be terrorized. Why? "For I am with thee," God speaking. "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." This word is, in the Hebrew, is tzedek, and it has to do exclusively with covenant keeping. That is, that which God has promised he will do. Psalm 110 says, "The Lord said unto my Lord," now in the King James, we can get a sense, if we understand, that where it says "the Lord," that's capital L-O-R-D, that word always is translating the Hebrew word Jehovah or Yahweh, that tetragrammaton, that four-letter, four-consonant word. "The Lord said unto my Lord," that's capital L, and then small letter O-R-D. That's speaking of Jesus. It says, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstools." You know, this is to me, and I hope to you, is an opportunity for us to continue faithing. I know it's not a word in English, but it really communicates the best sense for us to keep trusting, if you will, of that New Testament word, pisteos. It's acting on the promises of God. God says to Jesus, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." God didn't do it right away, thank God, because he had us in mind. Because his enemies are not yet made the footstool of Jesus. It's not done yet. And in his loving kindness, he hasn't done it yet, because he had us in mind also. I hope you all have a little understanding of the sense of that verse. It's probably the most quoted verse of the Old Testament in the New Testament. You find it in several places. I'm not going to go to all of them. Luke 22:60 says, "Hereafter shall the Son of Man," that is Jesus, "sit on the right hand of the power of God." And Stephen, when he's being martyred for the word, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Romans 3 says, "Who is he that condemneth?" It is Christ that died. That's talking about that full payment of redemption for our fallen condition. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That means he provides the way for us to hit that mark. It is God. It is God in Christ. It is Christ at the right hand of God who makes intercession for us. This is that faith statement, a faith statement found. This is a faith statement found in Colossians 3:1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God." That puts us in some pretty high cotton, folks. If we're risen with Christ, this is the gospel. This is the good news. We may not see it yet, but God declares it, that if ye be risen with Christ, we are to seek those things which are above. God will take care of us down here. He speaks of that in the 44th Psalm, which we quoted earlier, the third verse. You know, they didn't come into the land, into possession of the land by their own sword. but by the right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, that is the presence of God, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That famous statement of the opening verses of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, wherein it says, speaking of Christ, many call this opening the gospel of God, wherein it says, who is heir of all things, by whom also the worlds were made, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he, that is Jesus, had by himself, King James says, purged our sins. I think there's an even better picture, has purified us from our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, second verse says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of, King James has, our faith. You look at the word our, it's in italics. The author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, a shameful death, did Christ endure. For the joy that was set before him. And having done that, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, this is the doctrine of God. This is not the doctrine of men. How do I answer? How do I close? How do I close? Back to Jesus quoting Isaiah in the 7th chapter, 7th verse of Mark. It says, how be it in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. This word in this verse being translated worship has the sense of being religious, being devout, but not to God, but to the commandments of men. Oh, folks, let us with the joy of understanding hold on with hope, leaning God's word, wherein it says, and wherein we do experience God showing us the path of life, and that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore, Leolam, into eternity. The right hand of the Lord. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. And the right hand of the Lord does uphold. And as God said, fear thou not, through the traditions and commandments of men, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Can you, with me, give glory to God and thanksgiving for his word? Which is forever settled in heaven, and when the New Testament speaks of men and women in faith, it says that we are already seated in heavenly places in Christ at and with the right hand of God. And that's the God School for today.